Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Pei Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We are beginning today's shiur from the beginning of the ninth and last perek of Maseches Gittin. So you can see on the pei beis where the new perek begins. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Machlikas Tanoim Im Yesh Lahachshir Get Sheyesh Bo Shiur. We will see a Machlokas Tanoim regarding a divorce document, a get, or we'll say a divorce that contains a, we'll say a shiur means that which is literally that which is left out, a non total break. In other words, the woman is still, there's some element of the marriage that remains, even though the husband is divorcing his wife. In a true divorce, in an absolute divorce, there's no bond between them that remains. They are divorced, a complete break. The Torah makes reference to the kosav lo sefer krisus. Krisus means a cutting apart, a severing of the relationship. What happens in a case where their bond is not totally separated? Does that constitute a kosher divorce or not? The Mishnah. Hamagarish is ishto v'omar lo. Man is divorcing his wife and he says to her at the time that he is giving her the get, Harei at muteres l'chol odom elo l'ploni. You are hereby allowed to marry anybody, and he uses the word Ella. The word Ella is going to be the subject of the Gemara's discussion. So we can translate it now, but we will not commit ourselves to this as a final word. So he's saying to her, you are hereby divorced, and you're now allowed to marry anyone except for so-and-so. Rabbi Lezer Matir, Rabbi Lezer allows her to remarry. The Chachomim Oistrin, and the Chachomim say, no, she's not divorced. Ketzad Yaseh, so what should be done? If you're saying that giving the get in this fashion is not acceptable, so what should be done? Yitlenu Heimeno V'yachzer V'yitneno La. He should take the get back and then give it to her again, the Yomar Law, and at this time, and this time say, Hare at Muteres L'chol Odom. You are hereby allowed to marry anyone. Kosvoi Besoichoi, if this was written into the document itself, Afalpi Shechozeru Mochakoi Posel, even though he may subsequently erase that, the get remains invalid. On the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei, the new topic heading, we have written Biur Haloshen Ella Demasnisin. The word Ella in the Mishnah, what does it mean? Haim Mashmo Chutz, is it equivalent of saying except for, like we translated, Oi Almanas, or is it a condition? In other words, you are hereby divorced and allowed to marry anyone. Anyone on condition that you don't marry so-and-so. And there is a legal distinction between saying chutz versus saying almanas. The Gemara opens with a long question. Ibai Eloho. Hi Elo. The word Elo in the Mishnah, we have arrows indicating where it was found in the Mishnah. Chutzu, does it mean chutz? Except for oi almenas hu, or does it mean on condition that? Rashi says, Almanas hu? Almanas shelo tinosi leploni. In other words, you are divorced and allowed to marry anyone on condition that you don't marry so-and-so, specifying a specific individual. The Gemara now analyzes the two sides that we've noted as Aleph and Beis in greater depth. Chutz hu. Does the word chutz, the word elo in the Mishnah mean chutz except for? Ubechutz hu de pligi, rabbonon, olei de reblazer. And it's in this case where a person says you're allowed to marry anyone except for, and it's in this case that you have the machlokas, as we saw in the Mishnah between Reb Elazar and the Chachamim. The Reb Elazar, let me read that again. Ubechutz hu de pligi rabbonon olei de Reb Elazar, deha shir lo beget. It's in this case that the rabbonon disagree with Reb Elazar, because there is a shiur, there's an element left out. In other words, the break is not a complete break. There's something missing. Shiur, something that's been deleted or missing, is absent in the break. That's shiur lo beget. Avol be'al menas. If he had said, hareyat muteris l'chodom al menas shelo tinasi leploni, modu lei, the Rabbanan might concede in that case. Midi dehavi akol tnai b'alma, similar to any condition in a get. It's a given, it's quite well known that a person can give a divorce to his wife stating a condition, and this would be no different than any other condition. The Rashi, avol ba'al menas modu, let's read the Rashi, modu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would concede to Reb Elazar that it's a kosher divorce. The beget lo shir. As far as the actual divorce, nothing is absent, nothing is missing. Shetira b'mesira seget l'chol adam. He was allowing her to marry anybody with the giving of the get. Elo shehisna imo, but he did stipulate al menas shelo tinosi lo zeh, on condition that you don't marry so and so. V'ein zeh elo ketnai b'amon. This can be viewed as a simple, general condition. And if that be the case, the Rabbanan would agree, if it were almanas, that it's a kosher get. We continue in the analysis. El o dilma, almanasu. It could be that the word ela in the Mishnah is the equivalent of almanas. Uba almanas hu de polig Rebbe Elazar ad Rabbanan. And it's with regard to almanas, and only then would Rebbe Elazar be lenient. And machshir, and it's only then would Reb Elazar be machshir, and in that case you have the machlokis Reb Elazar and the Rabbanan. Avol b'chutz, but if the Elo meant chutz, or if he stated b'chutz, in other words, if you're saying that Elo means almanas, fine, then Reb Elazar is machshir. But if the husband had said hareat muteres l'chol adam chutz miploni, except for so-and-so, mode, Rebbe Elazar would concede to the Rabbanon that is unacceptable, the Hashir lo beget. Because by saying chutz, you're leaving a part of the break incomplete. Omar Ravina Toshma. Ravina answers the question. You'll notice we have a long marking. And since we're learning Gemara and not a suspense novel, we can tell you right here at the beginning what the end is. And Ravina's point is to show that the argument concerns chutz. But if it would have been, if the husband would have said, Hareyat muteres l'cholom almanas shaloti nosi leploni, then even the Rabbanon would have been lenient. Now, let's see how that is, in fact, proven. Omar Avino Toshma. Let us come and prove that the argument is in the argument where Reb Elazar, where the Rabbanon are restrictive, is Bechutz. What is the method of the Gemara? The Gemara is going to go to a highly unrelated topic, something that only the Gemara can do, to compare that which to us would appear unrelated, but show that the use of the word Elo has a specific meaning. even though the topic from which this is being cited has nothing to do with Gittin. So the topic deals with Negoyim, color afflictions. Color afflictions are most famous in the realm. We call that Mitzora or Tzaras. And here we're going to refer to the, let's see, the less well-known phenomenon of Nigei Botim, where a house can be afflicted, house walls can be afflicted with a change in color, and that would lead to the house becoming Tome. We don't have to delve into the details. Those are dealt with in other places. There's an entire Masechta called Maseches Negoyim, as well as various places in the Shas Bavli. What we want to focus in on right now is the use of the word Ela. So it says in this source, Kol habotim metamin b'negoyim, Ela shel oivdei kechavim. All houses are subject to Negoyim. And here you have the word Ela. We can't translate it at this point. We have to let the Gemara decipher it. But since all houses are subject to Negoyim, Ela, than the houses of Gentiles, of idol worshippers. He amrs Bishlama Chutz, who? Shapir, if you translate Ela as meaning Chutz except for, then fine, this makes sense. And it would read that all houses are subject to Negoyim except for those belonging to Gentiles. In other words, you have a law that pertains to the Jewish people, not to Gentiles. And hence the word Ela, if you explain it as meaning Chutz, this source would make sense. Eloi amrs almenasu, on condition. So what's the source going to be saying? Almenas delo mitamu bote oivde kechavim, who de mitamu bote Yisrael. You'd be saying then as follows: on condition that the houses of Gentiles don't become tome, houses of Jews do become tome. Ha mitamu bote oivde kechavim, lo mitamu bote Yisrael. But if the houses of Gentiles would be subject to Tumah, are you suggesting the houses of Jews would not be subject to that form of Tumah? That's ridiculous. Fiod, and furthermore, Bote Oivde Kechava Mi Metami. Would the houses of Gentiles be subject to Negoyim even to begin with? In other words, what we just read in the Gemara says that, well, if they don't become Tamei, so the houses of Jews do become Tamei. But if the houses of the Gentiles do become Tamei, but we're questioning that couldn't get off the ground, that couldn't even begin. V'ha Tanya, the Pasuk says, V'nosati negat tzuras v'veis eretz achuzaschem. That's the Pasuk that is found in the topic of house Negoyim. Eretz achuzaschem mitama b'negoyim. The houses in your land are subject to Tumas Negoyim. V'ein bote oivdei kechavim mitam Negoyim. But the houses of Gentiles are not subject to Negoyim. So you have a clear source with a pasuk, and that which is derived from the pasuk indicating that the houses of Goyim of Gentiles are excluded from the realm of Negoyim. Elishma mino. Therefore, we must conclude that the word Ela is chutz hu, shma mina. That the word Ela in the source of where it said the kol botim mitam b'negoyim Ela shel b'chavim, you see there that the word Ela clearly means chutz, except for, and we're going to then use that interpretation, that explanation of Ela, and apply that to our Mishnah as well. The result being that the machlokes, Rebbe Elazar Nachumim, is where he says to her, you are muteris to everyone, except for Ploni. The word Ela meaning chutz, except for Ploni. But if it would have been almanas, you're muteris to everyone, almanas, should lo tinosi leploni, then even the Chachumim would say it's a kosher divorce. Masnisin the low ki high tana, desanya. Our Mishnah, which we just proved, argues, the argument surrounds chutz, is not like the following presentation of the Machlokes Tanoim. Oftentimes in the Shas, you have later Tanoim presenting their version of an earlier Machlokes Tanoim. In this case, we're now going to see Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's presentation of the Machlokas, Rebbe Elazar, and the Chachamim earlier, Tanoim. For your convenience, we've included a little chart on the side which highlights the difference between the Mishnah's approach and the following Brisa's approach. Let's now go continue in the text, the Sanya. Amar Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda, Lo Nechaku Rav Elazar Chachamim Al Hamagarish Yis Ishto V'yamar Lo Hareyat Muteres L'chol Adam Chutz Miploni She'eino Mugureshes. Rav Yossi tells us that there's no machlokes where the husband said Chutz Miploni. Everyone agrees it's ineffective. We mean to say then, even Rav Elazar agrees it's ineffective. I hope it's clear that our Mishnah doesn't agree with this approach. Our Mishnah said that concerning Chutz Miploni, you have a machlokes. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us concerning the use of Chutz Miploni, there is no machlokes. Furthermore, Alma Nechleku, concerning what is there a machlokes? Al Hamagarish, Ishto, V'yomerlo, here you are hereby divorced, and you're muteris, you're allowed to marry anyone on condition that you don't marry so and so. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Rebbe Elazar matir l'chol adam chutz me'oso ish. Rebbe Elazar says she is considered a divorced woman and she can marry any man except for that individual, because that would then be a violation of the condition. V'chachomim osrin. The chom says she can't marry anybody. And here we analyze what we just learned. The diamonds are explained on the side, the note under the nosei slash mivne heading. Hezber to'omim shel Rav Elazar v'chachomim demasnisin v'abraisa. Here we're going to give the explanations of the tanoim that we have seen in the Mishnah and in the Brisa. First, we start with the Brisa that we just read. My Taima de Rebbe Elazar. Why does Rebbe Elazar say that if you use the expression of Almanas, the woman is allowed to marry? Midi dehave akol tnai v'almo. Similar to any condition, just like any stated condition is acceptable, is legitimate when divorcing one's wife, divorcing her on condition. So to this, v'rabbonon, the rabbis who disagree with Rebbe Elazar say kol tnai d'almo lo shir le baget. In general conditions, other conditions, there is nothing being mishuyar, nothing being left out of the divorce itself. In other words, the divorce is a complete divorce. What's the point of the divorce? That enables her to marry anyone she wants. She's now freed from her status of eishes ish. Haha, but when you state the condition of almanas shelo tinasi l'ploni, shir lo baget, you're not leaving all marriage options open to her. You're stating that this one particular individual is someone that she will not be allowed to marry. Umasnisin deukimno b'chutz. And turning now to the Mishnah, which we set up as having a machlokas concerning chutz. My time under Rebbe Elazar. Why does Rebbe Elazar say that by using the term chutz miploni, it's kosher? The new shape that you see, the bow tie shape, is featured on the side of our Gemara, where we've written Shnei Hezberim l'Rebbe Elazar v'Chachomim shel HaMishnah. Two approaches to explain the machlokes, give a source for the machlokes between Rebbe Elazar and the Rabbanan, who argue concerning chutz. We continue. Omer Rav Yanai, Mishum Zokein Echad. Rav Yanai quotes a particular elder, Omar Krah, based on a posuk. Just to review, once again, Rebbe Elazar said that if a man says you're muteris to everyone except for so-and-so, that's an acceptable get. So you have essentially a divorce that's not a complete release of the woman, and Reb Elozer says that's okay. What's the basis for that? So Omar Kroll, the pasuk says, "V'yotza mi beiso v'holcha v'hoyso li'ish acher." The pasuk is found at the source of the Torah for a get, where the Torah describes a man writes what's called a sefer krisus. He gives it to her, he gives it in her hands, and she leaves his home and goes and marries someone else. One. Reb Elozer derives from this, afilu lo hitira elo liish acher, harezu mugureshes. He takes the pasuk quite literally. Even if the husband allowed her to marry only one other person, she is divorced. The rabbonon hai ish, the pasuk that says she goes liish acher, doesn't mean one person. It equals lechol ish veish. She sent out of his house in as a divorced woman, and she thereby goes and is able to marry any man. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Taimod Rabbi Elozer Mehocha. Rabbi Yochanan cites an alternative source, a different source. The Pasuk says, and this Pasuk is in the context of the rules of Kohanim. We've mentioned before that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorced woman. Pasuk says, "V'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu kohanim," are not allowed to marry a woman divorced from her husband. And once again, taking a rather literal reading of this, Reb Elozer concludes, "Afilu lo nizgarsha elo me'isha," even if she hasn't been divorced from anyone other than her own husband, nifsala min akuna, that renders her unfit to the kuna. And when a woman is rendered unfit to the kuna, we're indicating that she is divorced. Alma havi gita, that shows us that it's an effective divorce. The Rashi explains on the second line from the top, elo meisho, she's been divorced only from her husband. The Omar law, the husband had said to her, arei at mugureshes mimeni v'at muteres l'chol adam, you're divorced from me, and I'm not allowing you to marry anyone else. This is what we refer to using the term Reya Chaget. This was an expression we saw quite a bit earlier in our Masechta that renders her unfit to the Kuna. And from the fact that she's rendered unfit to marry a Kohen, that shows us this is a get. V'hocha d'shairia L'chol adam chutz mizeh muteres l'acherim. And in our case, in our Mishnah, where he essentially said harat muteres l'chol adam chutz miploni, he was allowing her to marry basically anyone except for one person, and all the more so she would be considered divorced. We continue. V'rabbonon, the rabbonon who don't accept chutz, what about the pasuk? Isur kahuna shayni, the prohibitions regarding kohanim are different. So that rabbonon say it's true that she's rendered unfit to marry a kohen, but that doesn't mean that she's considered divorced with regard to the general laws of divorce. So a woman like that will need to receive another proper divorce, not one in which he says chutz. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a marking, and it's under the Mivneh heading on the side. This house shape introduces shtei she'elos, two questions. One you'll see over here, and the next one you see five lines from the bottom. By the way, if you need to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The topic at hand, the nosei, we've written the topic. The topic is Shelos Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba raises a question. Hiskachi li le'aser lakol adam chutz miploni. Here we're changing course. We're looking into the realm of kiddushin, the realm of marriage. When a woman gets married, the term, we use the word kiddushin, similar to the word hektish. Hektish is where you sanctify something. When you sanctify something, you're thereby proclaiming that it's forbidden for common use. So Hekdesh also can be associated with the concept of that which is forbidden. When a man marries a woman, so he's thereby forbidding her to marry other men. So in the we'll say in the same spirit as divorce, where we were suggesting that the optimal form of divorce is where there's a complete break with regard to marriage. The optimal marriage, one would think, is where it's complete prohibition to others. Rabbi Abba raises the question, what happens if a man says to a woman, be married unto me, and thereby become usher to other men, except for so-and-so? Okay, now the Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Abba, notice we have a long question marking. Bekidushin hech, what about in the realm of marriage? Rashi spells out the example we mentioned. Rashi, you can see on the upper part of the narrow lines, he says, Bekidushin hech, iskatshi li le'osir l'cho odom chutz miploni mahu. Man says to a woman, be married unto me, and thereby forbidden to all men, except for so-and-so. The Gemara. Tiboy l'Rabbi Elazar, tiboy l'Rabbanan. This question can be raised within that which we know about Rabbi Elazar, and within that which we know concerning the Rabbanan. You can see we've used a double underline to highlight the focusing of the question on with regard to each opinion. Tiboy l'Rabbi Elazar. Ad kan lo koma Rabbi Elazar. Up till now, Rabbi Elazar mentioned that chutz, where the term except for, is legitimate. He said that in the case of a get. Ad kan, we're reading that phrase again. Ad kan lo koma Rabbi Elazar. Hocho. Elo mishum diksivi kroy. Only because he had psukim to base himself on. We saw the psukim before. Rav Yanai, Rav Yochanan, above in the diamonds, in the bow ties that we saw above. Avol hosom. However, with regard to marriage, kinyan ma'alyubinyan, we need a complete bonding. Kinyan, in this context, will mean bonding. What we're trying to do is be politically correct, but the word kinyan also has the connotation of a full-fledged acquisition. So, in the case of kiddushin, kinyan ma'al yobin, we need a complete form of bonding, of acquisition, and if it's not complete, for example, he says, well, be married unto me, thereby forbidden to all men, except for so-and-so, which says it's not a complete bonding with the husband, because he's leaving open the option of her marrying someone else. Oy Dilma, possibly v'yotza v'hoy. So this is an abbreviated quote of the pasuk. We saw the pasuk quoted above by under Rav Yanai's bow tie. It said there v'yotza mibeso, which was a reference to a woman being divorced. She leaves his house v'holcha v'hoysa le'ish acher. So the word v'hoysa means and marry someone else. The Torah compares marriage to divorce, so that if in the case of divorce, the incomplete form is acceptable, we will say the same thing by marriage. And with that, you would then say that by saying chutz miploni in the marriage context, it's an acceptable marriage. Tiboy l'Rabbanan. And now we focus the question of Rabbi Abba within the sheet of the Rabbanan. Ad kan lo koami Rabbanan, hocha, ela deboin increases foleka. Up till now, the Rabbanan said that chutz, in the case of divorce, is not acceptable because we require a break. We mentioned this earlier. The pasuk says, because of lo sefer krisus, the document of splitting, of severing, a total break. Voleka, and if you insert a clause like chutz miploni, so it's not a complete break. You say to her, you can marry anyone except for so-and-so, so it's not a complete break vis-a-vis that particular individual. Aval hasam, in the case of kiddushin, kinyan kol dehu, any level of acquisition, any level of bonding is okay. Oy dilma, or maybe as far as the rabbanon are concerned, you also have the hekesh biyotza v'hoisa. And just like in the case of a get, you're suggesting that you need a complete break. So too, in the case of marriage, you need to have a complete bonding. And it won't be kosher if you state chutz in the realm of kiddushin, just like in the realm of gittin, according to the Rabbanan. So up to this point is Rabbi Abba's question. Lebosser di boyele hoder poshta. After he raised the question, he himself answered the question. Bein the Rebbe Lezer, bein the Rabbanan, bo'inon v'yotza v'hoisa. Emphasis placed on the hekesh. So the result of this will be each one according to his own opinion. Rebbe Lezer, who said that chutz in the case of get is okay, compare that, we will compare to that the case of marriage. It's also okay. With regard to the Rabbanan, who said chutz in the case of divorce is not okay. Similarly, with regard to kiddushin, it would not be okay. Omar Abaye, and here Abaye makes a point, it lasts a number of lines. Omar Abaye, im timtzalomar isa l'derebi Abba, if we'll accept Rabbi Abba's approach to Rabbi Eliezer, and in accepting that approach, we're saying that if a man says to a woman, hare at mikudeshes li, and thereby usher to everybody. We saw the Lashon in the Rashi on the third narrow line, Iskashi le usher l'chol adam chutz miponi, be married unto me, and thereby become forbidden to all men, except for so-and-so. And that's a legitimate marriage. So if you assume that, we have an example. Paul Reuven, the Kitshah, Reuven comes and marries a woman, and says, you're usher to everyone, chutz mi Shimon, except for my brother, Shimon. Ubo Shimon v'kitsho chutz me'ruvein. And then Shimon, who had the marriage option open, because he was the one person that she was not prohibited from. Shimon comes along and marries her v'kitsho chutz me'ruvein, and says, well, you're married unto me, prohibited to all men except to Reuven. So he's not, Shimon is not preventing her from marrying Reuven. Umeisu shneim. And these two fellows die. Reuven and Shimon, they die, leaving no children. But they do have a surviving brother, Levi. Misyabemes Levi. Yibum to Levi will take place. V'ein ani kore ba eishes shnei mesim. Rashi gives the background to this particular issue, but one should recognize that there is a, we'll say conceptually, there is a case of a woman who finds herself as a widow, having two men attached to her widowhood. The example given Maseches Yevamos, and Rashi quotes it, is a man we'll call Reuven died, leaving his wife and Almona, the widow. This Reuven had a couple of brothers, Shimon and Levi. Shimon offers her money in anticipation of marrying her. That's called Kiddushei Maimer. It's a rabbinic, we'll say, a rabbinic institution, a rabbinic invention. However, it doesn't create a Torah-level bond. It's a rabbinic marriage in the context of Yibum. Yibum is accomplished on a Torah level only through an act of actual intimacy. Nevertheless, Shimon offered Reuven's widow money, but he died. Levi remains. We do not allow Levi to do Yibum because she is considered having the association of two brothers vis-a-vis Levi. Two of Levi's brothers are associated with her widowhood, And based on the pasuk in the Torah, we say that a woman who has only one brother, one of the brothers, is responsible for widowhood. It does yibum, but not a woman who has two of the brothers associated with her widowhood. Well, in our case, though, we are saying that even though Shimon came along and offered her marriage, when he dies, Levi is able to marry her. And we're not calling her Eishes Shnei Mesim. My Taimo, why is that? Answer, Kiddushe de Ruven Ahanu, Kiddushe de Shimon Lo Ahanu. The marriage of her to Reuven, that took effect. The marriage of Shimon did not have any effect. So she doesn't gain any shame, Shimon, any association with Shimon upon her. And hence her widowhood is viewed as a purely Reuven, single brother based widowhood, enabling Levi to marry her. Rashi, if we skip to in the middle of the Rashi, you'll notice that we have a little star in the Rashi to help you find where we're reading from. If you notice the star right across from here in the Rashi, maybe a line up. V'hocha ashmin en abaye, afilu isa l'derebi abba. Even if you hold from Rebbe Abba, shekidushin, ko'elu havu kidushin, legabi alma. A marriage like this, where he says you're usher to everyone, and by marrying me, you've become prohibited to everyone except for so and so. V'nimsu shnehem kiddushin, and if you accept Rebbe Abba, and the result would be that the first man's marriage is a marriage, and that other fellow's marriage is a marriage. Nevertheless, over here, it's not considered as if she's associated with the second man, Shimon in this case. My time, huh? Why is that? Why not? Why does Shimon's marriage turn not? Why is it not effective? The Kevon the Omar Chutz Me Reuven, since Shimon said, I am marrying you and thereby prohibiting you to everyone except to Reuven, Lo Osra Al Shum Adam Hamutar. Shimon was not prohibiting her to anyone that had been previously mutar to her. In other words, Shimon's action of marriage did not impose a prohibition on someone that was mutar before. Sharei Asura Vomedesi Al Hakol Chutz Mirvein. She anyway was prohibited to all other men except for Reuven. So she was muteris to Reuven, and Shimon, by saying, you're muteris Reuven, but also to everyone else, but that everyone else was already prohibited to her through Reuven. So Shimon's marriage to her did not create anything new, did not create any new prohibition. And therefore, it's viewed as if Shimon did nothing. He accomplished nothing. And therefore, upon his death, she's viewed as simply the widow of Reuven and Levi can do Yibum, and it's not a problem of Eishes Shnei Mesim. The Gemara asks, V'elo Eishes Shnei Mesim, in this context, Heichi Mishkachas La? I say in this context because we're not going to refer to the case of Kiddushei Maimer that Rashi refers to. Hence, we're limiting this question to our context. Reuven and Shimon. So where do you find Eishes Shnei Mesim? How do you invent a case like that? Kagon. Shebo Ruvain Vikidsha Chutz Mishimon. Ruvain says you're married to me, usher to everyone except for my brother Shimon. Ubo Shimon, who, according to Rabbi Abba, Lefi Rebbe Lazar, has marriage rights, he comes along, Vikidsha Stam, and he marries her in an unqualified fashion. Meaning that Shimon's marriage to her is one where he thereby prohibits her to everybody. The Kiddushe Ruvain Ahanu Lemesra Alma, Ruvain's marriage to her was effective in prohibiting practically everybody, except for Shimon. The Kiddushe Shimon Ahanu Lemesra Ruvain. And Shimon's marriage to her was a marriage whereby he prohibited her even to Ruvain. So that, you see, Shimon's marriage was effective in prohibiting someone that previously was mutter to her. Well, and in a case like that, since not only Ruvain's marriage has a foothold, so too does Shimon's marriage. And when these brothers die, Ruvain and Shimon, Levi will not be allowed to do Yibum. That will be the problem of what we call Eishes Shnei Mesim. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivne, a structural note, because shortly we'll see, in addition to the house marking which we introduced earlier, here we have a triangle. The triangle introduces She'elas Abaye Begimel Shlovim Im Shlav Nosaf Shel Rabbi Ashi. Abaye will raise a question, and it will appear in stages called the Imtin Salomar structure. If you say one of the conclusions reached earlier and continue with the question, you'll see how it continues. And after Abaye raises his question in several stages, then Rav Ashi comes on with his, we'll say, addition. Poi Abaye, in the case of divorce. Omar lo harei at muteres l'chol odom chutz meruvein v'shimon. V'chozar v'omar lo l'ruvein v'shimon mahu. Originally he says, you're muter, you can marry anyone except for Ruvein and Shimon. I think we should assume, like we mentioned before, that this is a question within within Rabbi Lozer's approach, as we saw in the Mishnah, that stating chutz in a divorce is okay, it's legitimate. However, he said chutz Ruvein Shimon, and then before giving the get to her, he says l'Ruvein v'Shimon mahu. What does he mean by that? Mi amrinon my the osar shara o dilma my the osar shara my the shara osar. According to the first possibility, do we say that that which in his previous statement he had allowed, in other words, he says you can marry anyone except for Ruvain and Shimon, and now he's saying you can marry even Ruvain and Shimon. O Dilma, or do we say that that which he originally prohibited, namely Ruvain and Shimon, by saying afterwards, by saying Ruvain v'Shimon, saying, oh, you can marry Ruvain Shimon. However, that which I allowed you earlier, Kol Odom, no, that, no, yet you cannot marry just anyone. You can marry only either Ruvain or Shimon. The Rashi that's relevant to this point is found on the top of Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. So if we look at Rashi together, my da'osar shara, the high Ruvain v'Shimon, the hader omar lo kedem mesira. This reference to Ruvain Shimon that he says again, right before he gives the get to her, after Ruvain Shimon kamar v'eno shiur, he's saying, you know, you're muteris to even Ruvain Shimon. There's no shiur in the divorce. There's nothing left out. There's nothing incomplete about the break. That's a total break. Ol Dilma, hi, Ruvain v'Shimon, Tahodah Komar, Chazorahi. Shechozar ve'ofach tano. He's actually reversing his condition. Lomar, Ruvein v'Shimon ani matira levado v'teasri ala kol. I'm now allowing you to marry only either Ruvein or Shimon, and everyone else that I had previously allowed you to marry, no, that you can't marry. Continuing in the Gemara, in Tinsa Lomar, my the Osar Shora. If you assume, like the Aleph possibility, but we assume that he's simply extending the heter, not just Kol Odom, but even Reuven and Shimon that I previously prohibited, I'm allowing you them as well. So if we assume that for right now, let's say, instead of saying on his second round, he says, right before giving to her, L'Reuven, Mahu. What is the husband's intention when he says, just Reuven? L'Reuven, Vuhadin, L'Shimon, I am now releasing my restriction from Reuven, and likewise, with regard to Shimon, you can marry either one of them as well. V'ai dekomer l'Reuven, that he mentioned only one of them, mishum de posafle, because in his initial restriction, that was the first one that he had mentioned. But he's opening the gates of permission completely. He simply cited the first of the two that he had restricted. Oy dilma, Reuven dafka, or maybe we should understand when he says l'Reuven, he's saying, I'm matter you not only to all people, but to Reuven as well, but only to him, not to Shimon. I'm retaining the original Shimon restriction. In Tinsa Lomar Reuven Dafka, if you want to assume like this second possibility, let's say the husband says on his second round, after having said Chutz Reuven Shimon, he then says to her, before giving her the get, L'Shimon Mahu. L'Shimon Vuadin Reuven, does he mean to say, I'm matir you to Shimon and Reuven as well? V'haidugmar Shimon. And the reason he's mentioning just the name Shimon, Mishum de Solik Mine, because that was the last name that he mentioned previously. So he's just picking up on where he left off. But not to the exclusion of Reuven. No, Dilma, L'Shimon Dafkor, maybe. Since he's citing just Shimon, he means to say that I'm matir you, besides all people, to Shimon as well, but not to Reuven. Boy Ravashi, Af L'Shimon Mahu. Let's take a look at Rashi on the fourth line from the top. Boy Ravashi, Af L'Shimon Mahu. Omar lo chutz Reuven v'Shimon. He says, you're muteris through this divorce to everyone except Reuven and Shimon. V'chozar v'Omar, Af L'Shimon Mahu. Im Timtze Lomar, Hecha d'chozar v'Omar L'Shimon, V'lo Omar Af, Dafka L'Shimon Komar. So you can see from Rashi how Ravashi is a continuation, and that's why we have him in a triangle, of a continuation of the series of questions raised just before. So that picking up from the making an assumption, we will make an assumption that having said L'Shimon, he means only Shimon. That was like the Bay's possibility. Hochomai, Rashi continues. Kevav Yomar Af, he says, in this question, on his second round, he says, Af L'Shimon. Kevav Yomar Af, Vadai Hitiru L'Shneim. He's certainly being matihur to Reuven as well. The high Af, a Reuven Koi. The word Af is a reflection upon Reuven. V'afa gavdolo his kishmor, even though he didn't mention his name. Oy dilma, Rashi continues, L'Shimon v'lo Reuven. When he said Af Reuven, he's saying, you muteris to all men and even to Reuven. Even to Shimon, that is. V'lo Reuven. V'hai Af ha'kuli amokoi. The word Af is simply an extension of the heter that she originally had when he was mati her to everybody. Originally, he said everybody except Reuven and Shimon. And now he's saying, Af L'Shimon, in addition to everybody that originally was mati you to, I'm mati you even to Shimon. So that's the old Dilma in the Gemara. Af A'almokoi, Teku. And this question remains unresolved. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you need to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.